Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Nisan.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul with Torah Life Ministries, and we have another devotional here to share with you today from the Sufferwell devotional series at sufferwell.org. And we've been doing these devotions for a while now, and we want to emphasize the idea of suffer well. And we started off by doing these teachings with the idea of the Fox's Books of Martyrs and people being martyred for Yeshua and what they went through. And we're going to read this devotional today, and then we're going to talk about this important concept, and we don't want to forget what it means to give up our life for Yeshua so we could rise again with Yeshua. So we're going to read this now. It says, Sofri Bien, and that's, it says, this is the title to the entire body of devotions, Suffer Well. The prevailing verse that is continually brought into consciousness is Hebrews 2:10. And in Hebrews 2:10, the verse says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it is fitting that Yahweh, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. And we read that again. It says, so for it is fitting for him, that's Yahweh, on account of whom Yahweh all things are through and whom all things are from, and bringing many sons, that's you, to the glory, to lead to the prince, that's Yeshua. Of there, that's you, salvation, your saved mind, to perfection through suffering. So think about that, and then we go on to another verse in Romans 8:28. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that Yahweh causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Yahweh and are called according to his purpose for them. Yeshua, who is our perfect example, was made perfect through suffering. It would be ever so important to teach you according to the command precept that even while suffering, all things work for good, as we just read in Romans 8:28. And if all suffering is for good and intended purpose, then we now hold the key to perfected life, the perfected mind. Suffering is inevitably good and works for good. So to rejoice in our sufferings would be the key. To understand with an inspired intellect that if Yahweh only does what is good and perfect, then my suffering is intended to make me more like him. His son's example of sufferings demonstrates its wholly intended purpose. In this, I can and will rejoice that my sufferings is not for nothing. And so now, after many devotionals have been revealed to and within you, devotions that have taught you to lose your life, your personal ego of your fleshly desires, in order to find your life, a spiritual renewed mind, we felt an uncertain of the spirit to remind you why we are all here today. It is to embrace every seeming pitfall, every valley experience, and every stumbling block as a necessary encounter. Never see it as a warfare, but instead as a spiritual encounter with predetermined purpose. Suffering brings perfection, loved one. And because we know this, as it is gifted to us by the Spirit to know, we do supernatural, we suffer well. Suffer well. That's what our devotional is all about, is suffering well. And I want to read to you now from Fox's Books of Martyrs about a few people that suffered, particularly one person, to give you the idea and the heart of this idea. And so we're going to read here. It says, the fourth persecution under Marcus Aurelius. And this took place in 162 AD. It says, the command, this happened in AD 162. The cruelest used in the persecution was such that many of the speculators shunned with horror at the sight and were astonished at these type of sufferings. Some of the martyrs were obliged to pass with their already wrenched feet over thorns of nails, sharp shells, and upon points others that were scorched, till their snoes and feet, after suffering most excruciating tortures could be devised, they were destroyed by the most terrible deaths. And then it talks about a young man named Germanicus. It says, but a true Christian being delivered to the wild beast on account of his faith, behaved with such astonishing courage that several of the pagans became converts to the faith, which inspired such. So these men that were tortured, many of them were fed to wild beasts, and they would not give up their faith just because of that. But I want to bring you to a fellow named Polycarp. Polycarp was one of the last known men alive that knew an apostle. He was a friend of the apostle John, actually John the Baptist, the apostle John. And it says he was a personal disciple of the apostle John, an old man. I think he was 86 years old, and he was a bishop of a church of Samaria in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. The persecution against the Christians broke out there, and believers were being fed to wild beasts in the arena. The crowd began to call for the Christians' leader, Polycarp. So the authorities sent a search party to bring him in. They tortured two slave boys to reveal where Polycarp was being hidden. It was Friday afternoon. Polycarp was resting upstairs in a country house. They came in like a posse, full armed, as if they were arresting a dangerous criminal. Polycarp's friends wanted to sneak him out, but he refused, saying, "Yahweh's will be done." The Christians were taught that a believer was not to make oneself available for martyrdom and should not seek it out, but neither should he avoid it when there was no choice. In one of the most touching instances of Christian grace imaginable, Polycarp welcomed his captors as if they were friends, talked with them, and ordered that food and drink be served to them. Then Polycarp made one request: 1 hour to pray before they took him away. The officers overheard his prayers that went on for 2 hours. They began to have second thoughts. What were they doing arresting an old man like this? Despite the cries of the crowd, the Roman authorities saw the senselessness of making this aged man a martyr. So when Polycarp was brought into the arena, they pleaded with him. They said to him, "Curse Yeshua and they will release you." So they asked him to curse Yeshua and they would release him. And he replied, 86 years I served him. He has never done me wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who has saved me?" The pre-council reached an acceptable way out. "Then do this, old man. Just swear by the genius of the emperor, and that will be sufficient." The genius was sort of the spirit of the emperor. To do this would be a recognition of the pagan gods and religion. And Polycarp replied, "If you imagine for a moment that I would do that, then I think you pretend that you don't know who I am. Hear it plainly. I am a believer of Yeshua." And Polycarp stood firm. The pre-council threatened him with wild beasts. And his reply was, "Bring them forth. I would change my mind if it meant going. I would change my mind if it meant going from the worst to the better, but not change it to the right to the wrong." The pre-counsel's patient was gone. I will have you burned alive. And his reply was, you threaten fire that burns for an hour and is over, but judgment on the ungodly is forever. And then we look at this amazing thing that happened of his death. The fire was prepared. Polycarp lifted his eyes to heaven and prayed, Father, I bless you that you have deemed me worthy of this day and hour, that I might take a portion of the mortars in the cup of Christ, Yeshua. Among these may I today be welcomed before the face of the rich and acceptable sacrifice. As the fire engulfed him, believers noted it smelled not so much like fire burning as a loaf baking. He was finished off with a stab of the dagger. His followers gathered his remains like precious jewels and buried them on February 22nd, a day set aside to remember. The year was probably 155. In a strange way, known to the eyes of faith, it was much a day of triumph as a day of tragedy. Now, that's not the end of that. That's not the, there's more to the story. It says, the circumstances attendant to the execution of this old man, as they were no common nature, it would be injurious to the credit of our professional history of mortem to pass them over in silence. It was observed by the spectators that after finishing the prayer at the stake, to which he was only tied but not nailed, as usual, as he assured them he should stand immovable, the flames on their kindling faggots encircled his body like an arch without touching him. So they tried to set him on fire and the flames would not even touch him. And the executioner, on seeing this, was ordered to pierce him with a sword. So that's why they pierced him with a sword. When so greatly quality of blood flowed, it extinguished the fire out. Wow. Amazing. But his body at the investigation of the enemies of the gospel were ordered to consume. It was ordered to be consumed in a pile. And they requested his bones because his body was completely consumed. Amazing. Amazing. The faith we are supposed to have as believers is something unimaginable. To die with him and to rise with him. Ephesians 1:11 says, furthermore, because we are united with Yeshua, we have received an inheritance from Yahweh. For he chose us in advance and he makes everything work out according to his plan. We must trust him. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, for Yahweh saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was the plan from before the beginning of time. So show us his grace through Yeshua Messiah. And that's it. And I am telling you all, the idea of suffering well and the affliction that's going to happen to us as believers is real. But we must welcome it, knowing that our Creator has a plan for us and all good will come out of it. For the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, in every way we're troubled but not crushed, frustrated but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. Psalms 34:19-20 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous one. And Yahweh, Yeshua, delivers us from all of them. And he will keep his all his bones. Now one of them will be broken. And 2 Corinthians 1:6-7 says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your own salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope of all your steadfast knowing that you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be part of the consolation. We need to stand firm as believers. Firm. 2 Corinthians 6:4-6 says, in everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of Yahweh. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every way. We have been beaten, been put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and going without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, and our kindness by the Holy Spirit within us and by our sincere love. Polycarp is a great example of this. And there are many people around the world today. It's a great ministry called Voice of the Martyrs that shows people that right now are in jail being persecuted and tortured daily. But they have the attitude and the understanding that this life here is just passing through. We got a much better place to be going. We need to stand firm in our affliction and walk in our faith. Acts 14, verses 21 to 22 says, after preaching the good news and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Listeria, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia, where they were strengthened by the believers. They encouraged them to continue in the faith, reminding them we must suffer many hardships to endure the kingdom of Yahweh, or to enter the kingdom of Yahweh. And Matthew 24, 9 says, they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all the nations by for my name's sake. Remember the repentance that comes with the affliction. Psalms 25, 16 says, turn to thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. My troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. And I remind you what it says in Romans 12, verse 12. Be happy in your confidence. Be patient in trouble and pray continually. But rest assured, brothers and sisters, rest assured. It says in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, no trial has ever overtaken you that is not faced by others. And Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you are able to bear. But the trial will also provide a way out that you may be able to endure it. Remember, these situations our Creator allows to happen for a reason. Just like Job had to go through trials. Just like Polycarp had to go through trials. We are no different. These situations build us. They teach us endurance and faith. James 1, verses 2 to 4 says, my brothers and sisters, be very happy when you are tested in different ways. You know that such testing of your faith produces endurance. Endure until your testing is over, then you will be mature and complete, and you won't need anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 6 to 7 says, you greatly rejoice in this, even though you have suffered various kinds of trials. For a little while, so that your genuine faith, which is more valuable than gold, that perishes when tested by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Yeshua the Messiah is revealed. And Hebrews 12, verses 10 and 11 says, for they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But his disciplines, he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Yahweh is going to put us through trials, but not because he hates us. He does it because he loves us. We're going to go through many things, but remember there's a greater reward. Hebrews 12, verses 5 and 6 says, you have forgotten the encouragement that is addressed to you as my sons. My son, do not think lightly of Yahweh's discipline or give it up when you are corrected by him. For Yahweh disciples the ones he loves and punishes every son he accepts. Now, I'm not telling you that the torture we go through by the enemies is his chastening, but I am telling you right now that he allows things to happen for reasons. And all things work together for good. Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20 says, and Joseph said to them, fear not, for I am in a place of Yahweh. Am I not? But as for you, you taught evil against me, but Yahweh meant it for good, to bring pass as this day to save much people alive. What man looks for bad, Yahweh can turn around for good. Hallelujah. Remember that. Romans 8, 28, as we read, all things work together for the good and the love of Yahweh. So we need to seek his love in our trials, because I know many of you out there are going through trials today and you're going through hard times, and many of you don't understand why, and many of you are questioning these things, but never doubt that our Creator loves us, and especially during these trials. Romans 8, 35 to 39 says, who will separate us from the Messiah's love? Can trouble, distress, persecution, hunger, nakedness, danger, or violent death do this? As it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are thought of as sheep headed to the slaughter. In all these things we are triumphantly victorious due to the one who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor anything else above, nor anything below, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of Yahweh. That is ours in the union with Messiah Yeshua, our wonderful Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I remind you today, 2 Corinthians 4:16, that says, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Remember that. And remember Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who keep waiting for Yahweh will renew their strength. Then they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not grow tired. I think about one of my the financial teachers, Dave Ramsey. When people ask him how he's doing, he always has a phrase that says, better than he deserves. What a great example. Better than we deserve. The greatness that comes to us. We understand this concept. For Job 1:21, and he said, naked I came into my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Yahweh gives and Yahweh taketh away. Blessed is the name of Yahweh. Revelations 2:9 says, I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jewish and are not, but are synagogues of Satan. We must love one another. And we must understand what it means to love our enemies. And we must use the example of Parley Carp and how he treated his capturers. And the great testimony we had. And think about how many people came to faith that day and seeing what he went through. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I am Yahweh your God, who takes hold of your right hand and saves you. Do not fear. I will help you. Do not fear. I will help you. We must trust that. We must trust that. For John 3:30 says, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. That's what we need to hold on to. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says, I protest by your rejoicing. While I have Yeshua, our Messiah, I die daily. And in Galatians 5:24 to 25 says, those who belong to Yeshua have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit leading us in every part of our lives. How many of you are willing to give up your lives for him and become a new creation in him, putting our former life away and becoming new again, putting on a new man, which is renewed by the knowledge and the image that was created by Yeshua, our Messiah. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Yeshua, the new creation has come and the old is gone and the new is here. Hallelujah. No longer slave to sin. No longer slave to sin. Romans 6:8 says, now if we die with Yeshua, we believe that we also live with him. And Romans 13:14 says, clothe yourselves with Yahweh Yeshua Messiah and do not think about how to gratify desires of the flesh. Remember, we must count the cost for following Yeshua. We must count the cost. We must understand the persecution we will go through, the suffering we will go through. But we must be set apart from this world. We must be set apart from this world, and suffering is going to be part of that. We are called to love our Elohim with all our hearts and our soul and our might, and trust with him, not leaning on our own understanding, giving him all the glory, no matter what our situation might encounter. Everything. Everything. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do, indeed, in all the name of Yeshua Messiah, give thanks to Yahweh the Father by him. Thanks for everything. Not only is he asking us to endure the suffering, but to give thanks to him for it. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is Yahweh who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Remember, folks, his plan says it is for good and not disaster, to give us a future and give us a hope. For the only hope we have is sticking close to Yeshua, regardless of what the world tries to do to you, regardless of how they try to persecute you, regardless what anyone says to you. Remember Fox's Books of Martyrs, all the people that are persecuted, even today, that are going through it. Remember and don't forget all these different things. And just take joy knowing that we're running this race. And we're going to make it to the end. And we could take the examples of these wonderful peoples of faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So any struggles you're going through today, any hard times you're going through, in your prayer time today, thank Yahweh for it. Thank him for refining you and changing you and healing you and saving you and preparing a much better place for you that goes far beyond our short time here that we're just passing through. Our time in eternity with him is a beautiful thing. For this is something many people can't see and fail. When they're threatened with their life, they quickly submit to the pagans of this world. They quickly denounce Yeshua when they're threatened with their life or even just persecution. But we take the example of all the wonderful people of faith of the past, from the apostles, the people in Fox's Books of Martyrs, even to people that are dealing with it today and from a Voice of the Martyrs ministry around the world. We must stand firm and be steadfast and win this race and never back down. Never even consider it. Never, ever, ever. Hallelujah. And that is what this devotional Suffer Well is all about. And that's what we need to do. Praise our wonderful Creator, for this is the day is made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, everybody, for listening today. And have a blessed day. And you can see more at the website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And thank you for your prayers and support. Have a wonderful day today, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33416. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life Ministry. Lonely heart.